Can we begin with a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds that we might cherish the children that you have given us, blessed us with in our midst. In your name, amen. Children can say the darndest things. A 10-year-old boy said to his mom, "I don't need a bath, you can just Febreze me." "Dad," said one little boy, "were you born way back when everything was invented?" A 4-year-old said to her father, "You can't be a man, you're my dad." A little boy, getting in trouble for something, said to his mother, "I'm only 5, I don't know all the rules yet." 5-year-old asked her mom, "Mom, are the little flowers on the tomato plants cheerleaders for the tomatoes?" A long car ride back from a vacation, a 10-year-old boy said to his 8-year-old sister, "If you were Mrs. Potato Head, I would remove your mouth right now." Well, this morning we want to celebrate children. And what would life be like without them? Children teach us a lot of lessons. An anonymous author gave a list of some of the things that you and I wouldn't know unless we have kids or been around kids. For example, we wouldn't know who John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt is. How would you learn to change a diaper in the dark, in a parked car, or with a child standing, or all three at the same time? You wouldn't know which lines in Cat in the Hat or I Ran the Circus you could skip over without the child knowing. You wouldn't know how little sleep the human body can take. You wouldn't know how blessed naps are. And finally, without children, you would never know how much it was possible to love another human being. In our gospel text for this morning, we do learn the value and the importance of children, at least to Jesus. He welcomes them, and he shows the disciples what we can learn from a child. Well, we read about Jesus and his disciples traveling through Galilee to the town of Capernaum. And along the way, the disciples, well, they had a very natural human argument. Who was better than each other? Who was the greatest of the disciples, the most important disciples? An argument, as so often is the case, they missed the point of what Jesus had been teaching them. A conversation that was even more inappropriate because of what Jesus had just taught them. Before they left Capernaum, verse 31, Jesus was telling them that he would be handed over to people who would kill him, but 3 days later he would rise to life. So, Jesus sat them down as if they were children. He had them gather around and he taught them and said, "Anyone who wants to be first, they must be the very last and servant of all." The role of the disciples is not to argue among themselves as to who is the greatest. The role is to be a servant of others. And to drive home the point, he uses an object lesson. He takes a child, takes it in his arms, and he says to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Now, a very important lesson that we learn about Jesus taking the little child. It's interesting because in his day, in ancient Israel, children were not viewed very favorably. I mean, they took the old adage, "children are to be seen and not heard," to great extremes. Children, women, old men, and slaves were on the lowest rungs of the social ladder. They were the weakest burdens of society. They had very little value. At least that's what was thought. In fact, it got so bad that in Greece and Rome, it was an acceptable practice to abandon unwanted children on a roadside, to let them die. Jesus' attitudes for children couldn't be further from that, couldn't be more different. And he warned his followers, "Don't let little children stumble. Take care of them." Yet today, truth be told, many children suffer a dangerous fate. It's estimated 2.4 million children are physically abused every year. They are kicked, punched, beaten, stabbed, and even shot. One estimate has that in Boston alone, 40,000 kids are sexually assaulted before they reach the age of 16. United Nations, UNESCO estimates that there are about 40 million street kids throughout the world. 40 million. That's about the combined population of California and New York. They are children surviving on their own, selling newspapers, shining shoes, doing whatever they can to try to alleviate their poverty and their hunger. They live in doorways, under bridges, even in abandoned carts. A statistic that's hard to understand is that far more of those who are homeless in Pickaway County, the majority of them are children. There are children throughout the world who are displaced by war and famine, and we still read about children at our very borders who are being separated from their parents. Children in our world suffer a terrible fate. And yet we read about how Jesus viewed them, how he welcomed them, how important they were. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. As parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, what are we to do? How do we care for these children? Well, one, you provide for them. You provide them love and encouragement. You provide them with the confidence to face the world. You provide for them a good and healthy world to live in. And most important, you provide for them a healthy and a good and a rich faith and belief in our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I can still remember the day that our daughter Hillary left for her first real job. She was moving to New England after college graduation. She was going to work with a children's theater company. And Linda was taking her to the airport, and I was standing in the second floor bedroom window, and I was watching as the car was pulling out of the driveway. And I thought to myself that everything Linda and I have done from the day Hillary was born was all to prepare her for this very moment. All the lessons we taught, the love we gave her, the discipline, the encouragement, the teaching of what is right and wrong, and introducing Jesus to her, all of those things were meant for that very day. Meant to prepare her for the time that she would be on her own, working and living for the first time in the real world. Robert Rang tells a beautiful story about a young man, David, who was also leaving home for the very first time. From the age of 7 and on, David was raised by his aunt and uncle. Simple people, they sold vegetables at a fruit stand. And they loved and they cared for him. On that day, he stood at a train platform. He was getting ready to leave. And he reached down and he grabbed the rough hands of his uncle, the peddler uncle, and he said to him, "I can never repay you for all that you have done for me." The uncle spoke and said, "David, there's a saying, the love of parents goes to their children, but the love of these children goes to their children." But David protests, "That's not so. I'm always trying to." And at that moment, his aunt interrupted him and said, "David, what your uncle Asher means is that a parent's love isn't to be paid back. It can only be passed on." It's a dangerous world out there, and we can make it safer. That's our responsibility in life, to provide children with a safe world and a secure home. And we go back to our readings, we find a clue as to how we are to live our lives. And while those words in the scriptures give us a general understanding of living our life, they lay a foundation of how they can be lived for the sake of children. The reading gives us a choice. We can either choose between our own selfish desires, our ambitions, and power, or we can choose a serving, loving, and sharing heart with others, especially with children, as Jesus did. We can make a choice to live selfishly, violently, without regard to others or for other consequences. Or we can choose to live peacefully, responsibly, humbly, in sacrificial service to others. Not overstating the case that lives depend upon our choice. In our gospel lesson, Jesus predicts his suffering and death, but also predicts his resurrection. And the message that He gives us is that love, life, joy, prosperity, and grace are found through living simply, kindly, compassionately, and with grace. Found through Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of all of us, especially children, in His name. Amen.